The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome again to our late night emergency PODcast, our mini pod where we talk about the Detroit Lions NFL draft in 2020. Today we are talking day two. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the managing editor of Pride of Detroit. I am the interim coach of this PODcast, and back with us again after going to bed a little late after day one, Ryan Matthews is back at Ryan_POD, whatever, you know it.
Yeah, if you listen to the podcast, you have me on Twitter, I think. I hope. And if you don't, come on. I'm pretty close to 3,000 followers. Let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen. Ryan, we are here to discuss day two of the draft. Let's just call it an up and down day for our Detroit Lions. They made the three picks that they had, but there was a little bit of trading involved. There was a little bit of drama involved that we might get to a little bit, in which one side is claiming never even happened. But we're going to get all to that. Let's just start with the beginning, because podcast listeners are probably eagerly awaiting my thoughts on the Lions' first pick of the day, Georgia running back DeAndre Swift. And let me just look into the camera. I almost want to go full screen, but we don't have that capability right now. And look directly into Bob Quinn's eyes. Bobby, you had one job. Don't take a running back in the first two rounds of the NFL draft.
He did it.
He didn't do his job. Listen, you don't need me to go on another rant about my thoughts on the value of running back this early in the draft. You know that I hate it. I hated when the Lions traded up for Kerryon Johnson, even though I like Kerryon Johnson a lot. And this, it's very much the same scenario in my mind. Not that the two players are similar, but in the sense that I like DeAndre Swift a lot. He's a three down back that can do just about everything. He can catch the ball. He can pass block. He can run the ball. He can be your red zone guy, your short down guy. He's small, but he's big and a thumper. But I just don't like the value here. I don't like a guy that is going to come in and split carries with Kerryon. I don't like the value of a guy that's dealt with some nagging injuries in his career, because what running back hasn't? That's part of the position. And I don't like the idea of a guy that I don't personally think is going to see a second contract in Detroit, because that's the era of football we're in. We don't see guys get second contracts very often because teams aren't willing to pay that much because they're not that valuable of a position. So I don't like the pick. I do like the player. It leaves me in a tough spot, because I want to like this draft class. And there are a lot of things I do really like about this draft class, but I can't justify this pick no matter how much the Lions like this guy.
Well, let me try to justify this pick, because for as down as you are on the pick, I can agree with you in the sense that you're not getting great value here because you're taking a running in the second round of the draft. And it's not just the second round. It's, you know, pick 35.
Yeah, it's essentially the first round.
I know you're really looking at, and not to get too caught up in all this, like what's a first rounder, what's a second rounder, but
right.
I mean, this is a very high second round pick. And I think you start to look at the opportunity cost, and that's why maybe as we tackle this night, we don't use the benefit of hindsight, because at this point in time, AJ Epenesa is on the board. There's Josh Uche. There are all these players that we think fit a more valuable position and fit a bigger need for the Lions at this point in the draft, and they come out and they take a running back. So I think that's where a lot of the pain, and I think sure. that's where a lot of the gripes come from, and that's fair. But let's talk about DeAndre Swift, the prospect. Let's talk yeah. about the running back that the Lions got in the draft, because a couple of things. One, for as much as everybody liked A.J. Dillon, and I know I'm doing this by comparison, but for as much as everybody liked A.J. Dillon, that is a guy who was absolutely run into the ground in Boston College. Mm-hmm. Now, counterpoint, DeAndre Swift was never a workhorse at Georgia. Mm-hmm. In his three seasons there, he never played more than 500 offensive snaps. And that's awesome, because you're getting a guy that doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on his body. And I think that that's a really good point and distinction to make. People might be down on the fact that he's a smaller back. He's just pushing 5'9". With that being said, I think that's kind of how you want your running backs to be in this modern NFL. I think you want the guys who are lower to the ground. They have better contact balance. I think DeAndre Swift is the modern NFL running back. As you said earlier, he does everything well. Pass pro, runner, receiver. I think he's easily, I think he's the best receiving back in the draft class. And DeAndre Swift was a guy that if there was going to be a running back that went on day one, I think a lot of people projected him to be the guy. And when it was the running back out of LSU that the Chiefs took at the end of the first round,
Edwards,
that kind of surprised some people. So sure. I think while the position of running back itself is not as valuable as it calls for in the beginning of the second round, I think that getting the best player at that position, I think that's an upgrade. I think that's an upgrade for the Lions running back situation. I know it's difficult to envision what it might look like with, well, you have Kerryon Johnson. How does Bo Scarborough, how does Ty Johnson figure into all of this? I think that they, at the end of the day, they got a player that can do multiple things. So it's not like you can only have one of those guys on the field at once.
Well, I'd love to see some split back, which we've been dying for years and never really get. But I think this one stat pretty much tells it all for me. You know how many receiving yards he had at Georgia?
I don't know.
666.
Oh, perfect. Go dogs. No, but
I'm not done talking about him. I do. Let's put aside our thoughts about the pick and let's talk about his role. What will his role be immediately? Does he push Kerryon Johnson out of the starting role? Because the sense I get from Lions camp is that they really, really like this guy. And you don't draft a guy 35 overall unless you really, really like this guy. And because he can do everything, I do think, and yes, it's probably going to be more of a 1A, 1B type thing, but I think Swift comes in here and is 1A right away.
I think he really could be. And I think that that's born out of his versatility. This is a guy who's going to line up in the slot. You're mm-hmm. going to see him get split out. And I think that for as long, like you said, Jeremy, for as long as we've been pining for split back sets ever since, I mean, go back to Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick.
Right.
You know,
right.
we wanted to see that. And I think that with getting DeAndre Swift, the Lions have a legitimate threat now to do that, because they have a guy who is a precise route runner. I think that that's one of the most underrated parts of his game that I keep on reading about, is that he has an ability as a route runner out of the slot to consistently beat linebackers. And if you want to go 1A and 1B and you split the backs and DeAndre Swift is out in the slot and Kerryon Johnson is that threat to, you know, pound the ball in the middle and between the tackles, all of a sudden now you're kind of limiting their carries. You're limiting their wear and tear. You know, that was something that they, you know, I remember, I think it was either a season or two seasons ago, talking about Kerryon Johnson and how much they were utilizing him and how they were taking the approach that the season was a marathon. It wasn't a sprint. They wanted Kerryon Johnson to be, you know, juiced up and ready to go by the end of the season and to, for him to not hit that rookie wall. And I think that that's something that you're kind of insulating DeAndre Swift with. You're bringing him into a situation where if Kerryon Johnson's healthy, that's awesome. You're not relying on DeAndre Swift to be the guy. You have other plans in place. So it's tough. It's tough. I want to like the pick more than I do, but it's just because it's at 35 and I'm trying not to use the benefit of hindsight for the rest of the draft.
Right. And because, and we can move on to the rest of the draft now, because I mean, we've said what we will about Swift and maybe we'll put, maybe we'll make shirts that say, let's get Swifty up in here and feel better about it. But, but I mean, it is also hard to like, not zoom out, look at the big picture and be like, you know what? This offense could actually be pretty damn good. Look at all the weapons they have. Look at all, they now they've got two weapons in the backfield. They've got a tight end, maybe a second one, we'll see, and three receivers coming off great years. So it could be very exciting in terms of their offensive skill. But let's move to the defense now, because the Lions went defense with their next pick, and this was probably their most popular pick of the night. Great story, great value. Lions go Julian Okwara out of Notre Dame. Obviously, the big story here is that it's Romeo Okwara's brother, which should create an interesting dynamic, both in terms of the locker room and maybe even on-field play, because I think they could potentially be on the field at the same time. Ryan, what were your initial thoughts when Okwara was the pick?
Yeah, Okwara, that pick, that first pick in the third round, I think really trying to think of the best way to illustrate this, but I think it really redeemed Bob Quinn. I think it did in a big way, because the Lions got a guy who was in the top 30 on PFF's draft guide.
Yeah.
A player who I think just the Lions really benefited from an injury that he suffered. And I don't think anybody is necessarily concerned about his durability or anything like that, because it was a broken fibula that he suffered when he was at Notre Dame.
Yep.
But they're getting a guy who has a really special athletic profile and is kind of the edge rusher that we've been waiting for the Lions to get for quite some time. Yeah. And I think that's what's most excited, or I think that's what had that's what has Lions fans most excited.
And there's a couple things there that really should endear Lions fans to this pick. It's the pass rush. I mean, fans have been knocking on the door, beating down walls, poking people with pitchforks. Give me a pass rusher finally somewhere early in this draft. And they finally got that guy. I mean, you look at some PFF stats, his quarterback pressure percentages in the past 2 years, 18.4%. You know what college player in this year's draft had a better percentage than that?
Nobody.
So the Lions finally got a guy that can rush the passer, but he can also do it from several different places on defense. At Notre Dame, they sometimes had him as an off-ball linebacker. He's definitely a candidate to take some snaps at the Jack linebacker position, but he can also put his hand in the dirt. If the Lions decide to go four down, I think Okwara could be that guy coming off the left side and maybe with his brother on the right side and when Trey Flowers needs a break. The versatility there is important. We say it all the time. The quarterback pressure is big. And I think you're right. This guy is a first round pick if he doesn't suffer a broken leg. And by Bob Quinn's admission, it sounds like he's pretty much cleared up there. Maybe he's not ready to go day one, but especially with who knows how this offseason program is going to work. But he called the injury healed at this point. So great value here. Great fit. Huge need. I think redemption is absolutely the word to use for this pick, because I was bummed pretty hard after the DeAndre Swift, and this was like a nice little second wind I got. And I mean, I still don't understand it. I still don't understand why Bob Quinn sucks in the second round and is great in the third round. But I mean, he did it again. And maybe I'm wrong on Swift, but right now the third round looks like he killed it again, and Okwara was an absolute steal in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he is a steal by a lot of people's opinion because of, you know, what we said. If he doesn't suffer that injury, you're talking about potentially a first round pick. This is a guy who, if he would have went to the combine, you know, according to Ken, according to, you know, our own Alex Reno, that's what would have really pushed him into that first round discussion. Right. Because the only thing he was able to do at the combine was bench. And what's really interesting is because, you know, Okwara checks off all these boxes for what the Lions want out of a linebacker, right? He's 6'4", 250, big guy, long arms. You know, you're talking about, you know, over 34-inch arms, but he still put up 27 reps on the bench press. Now, that's some real strength, and I think that translates to his game when you see him kind of translate speed to power. And also, when you see his bull rush, I mean, we were watching highlights of his tape after the Lions picked him, and that really jumped off the tape. Is that, you know, he has a great bull rush. He plays with a lot of strength, and you know what? They're obviously different players, but AJ Epinesa he's literally the definition of a power end, and he doesn't necessarily have the athleticism that Okwara has, so. I found it really interesting that they prioritize a guy like Okwara, who really is like a straight up pass rusher. Yeah. He isn't the best run defender. It's true.
Something he'll have to work on.
Yeah, that's something that he'll have to work on. But I think it's really interesting that this was a pick that was almost like fan service, because this is something
right.
that Lions fans have wanted since Harold Landry, since they wanted, any pass rusher that you want to fill in the blanks on draft night, and the Lions just haven't done it, and they finally did it tonight, the third round, and I think they got a really good player in Julian Okwara.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. And the last thing I want to say on Okwara is when we had Brett Whitefield join us on our live show earlier today, he talked about his technique, right? The way he uses his hands, the way he uses his arm length, just the way his overall technique and how it fits exactly what the Lions teach. And so if he's healthy, We're talking a day one impact, and that's huge to get all the way in the third round at one of the team's biggest position of need. So I couldn't be happier with this pick, and going into their final pick of the day, like I said, I was starting to feel a little bit better. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that final pick that he made on day two, and then we're going to talk about going forward. What does this team accomplish? What does the team still need to accomplish, and what are our thoughts on how everything has gone this offseason so far? So stick around. We're coming back and talking more day two NFL Detroit Lions draft. Stick with us. And we are back with the day two recap of the POD cast, talking Detroit Lions drafts. We talked about the first two picks. We talked about DeAndre Swift. We talked about Julian Okwara. Now let me sure I finally get his name right, because on our live stream, I called him about 20 different names. With their second third round pick, they traded up to get Jonah Jackson. Did I get it?
You nailed it.
Yes. All right. So they get another Ohio State guy. They get a right/left guard, a guy who Bob Quinn called. Let me get this. He called nasty. He called very similar to Graham Glasgow, which was kind of interesting because I'm not sure I agree with him there. But they get their starting guard that they so desperately needed in this draft class. And suddenly I take that breath of relief, because I thought drafting a running back was putting a cart before the horse. But it turns out they put the cart and the horse out there on the same day. They get a running back. They get an offensive guard. Their offensive line is not quite fixed yet, but it's better than it certainly looked like at the beginning of the day.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And hey, not to toot my own horn, but my mock draft that I came out with earlier today, I had 10 spots off because the Lions had to trade up to get him. How do you feel about the trade up to get a guard?
I'm okay with it. I was just starting to run in the numbers right before Bob Quinn's press conference. And I think the Lions won it by the Jimmy Johnson chart and just barely lost it by the Rich Hill chart. I did see an ESPN analyst guy saying that the Colts got a fifth round pick worth better in that deal than the Lions did, according to their own approximate value chart. But to me, when you're mixing around day three picks, I'm going to be honest, I don't care that much whether it costs the Lions a fifth round pick, which it literally did, or a swap of 6 day picks, which it also did. They had to drop a little bit in the sixth round. I don't really care that much. You're talking about special teams guys at that point, long shots to make the roster,
projects,
projects, all that sort of stuff. Lions still have an additional fifth round pick, so they still have a pick in every round. I'm fine with it. It wasn't egregious in any sort of way. So we talked about it all offseason. This interior offensive line class wasn't that good, and you could argue that there's some other guys still on the board that they should have gone with. I'm not a big nitpicker there. I do like what I've seen out of this guy, but in general, in terms of the trade, in terms of the position, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm real happy with Jonah Jackson. I think that he fits here for a couple of reasons. One, just to improve the pass blocking in front of Matthew Stafford. That's right. That's got to be a huge concern after the way that, you know, his past two seasons have finished with, you know, with significant injuries. And I think keeping him upright, keeping him healthy has to be a priority. And taking a look at the pass blocking and the allowed pressures from last season, according to PFF, Detroit was 21st in pass blocking. But really their strength was in their tackles. Like Taylor Decker graded out as one of the better pass blockers in the NFL. So did Frank Ragnow from the interior as the center. You know, getting a guy who I think is going to be an upgrade as a pass blocker over Graham Glasgow, does that offset the... Now, you know, you take a running back like DeAndre Swift. Jonah Jackson, while, you know, Bob Quinn described him as nasty, I don't know if I would necessarily say he's a, you know, he's a mauler in the run game or he's a run grader necessarily, right. But I think you're getting maybe the best interior offensive lineman when it comes to pass blocking sets. The statistic that I absolutely love is that he had 1,020 pass block snaps and he allowed just one combined snap, sack and hit over the course of his entire collegiate career.
Insane.
That's pretty darn impressive, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, those are the kind of stats that we saw for another draft pick that the Lions made on the offensive line, Frank Ragnow. And we're all pretty happy with that pick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think what they did is they drastically improved a position of need. Because while for the longest time I've been saying, hey, it just looks like the Lions are happy with their guards, clearly they weren't. Clearly, right. They went out and they got a guy that they think can come in, and I think he's immediately going to play. I think that I think he'll be a starting guard by week one.
And whenever he brings the left and right guard versatility. I believe his final year at Ohio State, he was left guard. While he was at Rutgers, he was mostly right guard. But I want to talk about that transition and what it means for him as a person, because it's something that Bob Quinn brought up as a big reason in terms of his character, in terms of you know, his overall demeanor and love for football. He could have gone into the NFL draft after a couple of years at Rutgers, but he decided in his graduate year he wanted to transfer to Ohio State. And why? He wanted the state. He wanted the big stage. He wanted the better competition. And I know Rutgers and Ohio State play in the same conference, but he got to play in the playoffs. He got to go up against some big Clemson off defensive linemen, and he held his own. And it absolutely paid off for him. He made the absolute right decision. He comes in as a former captain of Rutgers, steps into Ohio State, one of the best colleges in the football nation, and just immediately comes in and plays at a great level. That sort of confidence, that sort of skill, that sort of motivation is something that understandably drew him to the Lions and makes you think that, you know, he's not going to walk into the NFL and think it's too big for him.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. I'm a little bit higher on it than I think some other people are. But like we said, at the end of the day, this addressed a position of need, and it's going to set up your offensive line. Now you're looking at it from left to right. You got Taylor Decker, Joe Dahl, Frank Ragnow, Jonah Jackson, and Vitae.
It's changed. Is it better? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, we'll see with Vitae. I'm glad that they're keeping him at right tackle, presumably, because I do think it's his better position. And you know, this offensive line was never great. It was certainly seemed to be trending in the right direction last year, And it's tough that they had to, or maybe they didn't even have to, that they decided to make some big changes, but they invested in it. They invested heavily in a right tackle. $9 million a year is nothing to shake your leg at. And they invested a day two draft pick on it. So Bob Quinn is continuing to do what he's been doing since he's gotten here, and that's investing in the offensive line. Let's just hope that he finally got it right.
Yeah, and the one other thing too I'll say real quick, Jeremy, is getting Jonah Jackson is an awesome get for the Lions, I think, because you take a look at the way that Bob Quinn addressed the depth at that position. Like, he brought back the guys that can serve as depth, you know, Ode Abushi, going out and getting Garnett. I think, and Wiggins, kind of giving yourself a little bit of cushion. And sure, you know what? It doesn't necessarily, if Jonah Jackson isn't ready by week one for whatever reason, there's some contingency plans in place. They're not great, you know, but
right, they know the offense.
At least they have some familiarity with the offense and they can move forward with that. But I think Bob Quinn has done, I mean, he essentially had to like tear down one half of his offense, or, you know, one side of his offensive line, and he rebuilt it over the course of a couple months, and we'll see whether or not it's different. Like you said, we'll see if it's better. The tape will tell.
Yep. All right, let's back it up. Let's talk about the full picture here. Let's talk about all four picks, what the Lions have done and where they're going from now. Let's just do it. Let's throw out a grade for day one and day two combined. What are your thoughts on the Lions haul so far? Did they accomplish what they needed to do? Are they a much better team than they were 2 days ago? What are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give out a grade that's probably going to be higher than most people's, probably higher than the national average, maybe even higher than some of your Kool-Aid drinkers, but I'm going to give them an A- over the first 2 days.
Okay.
And wow. I do that for a few reasons. One, they got the best cornerback in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Jeff Okuda. I'm super excited about that pick. Even getting him at 3, not trading back, all that stuff aside, at the end of the day, you have the best cornerback in the draft class on your team. The DeAndre Swift pick, I'm viewing him as less of a running back and more just as an offensive weapon in space. So if I'm doing that, I'm not going to be as harsh as to give it an F or to even give it something like a D. Like, I think that's more like a CC+, because the only reason why is because I'd probably rather prefer one of the wide receivers at that point if you're going to go offensive playmaker. But then Okwara is an A just based on, you know, based on value, based on talent, based on whatever you want to draw up, that's what they needed. And Jonah Jackson is, you know, I think a slam dunk to potentially be the starting guard right out of the gate. So, I mean, you got players who are going to play big roles for the Lions whenever, you know, football starts back up. But Okuda's going to be getting a lot of snaps. So's DeAndre Swift. So's Okwara. So's Jonah Jackson, if he's ready to go. Like, these are guys who are going to be big time contributors for the Lions when football starts again. And that's why I'm a little bit more optimistic, because they're getting players that are going to contribute.
Yeah, day one contributors across the board. And I think the biggest thing for me, and you don't always want to draft for need, but this Lions team had some major needs that it needed to make up for. They lost Darius Slay. They lost Graham Glasgow. They go out and immediately get replacements for both those guys. And maybe they're not as good as their predecessors right away, but they have the potential to be as good, if not better. They go out and they get an edge guy who we've been clamoring for forever, and they get him probably at least a round before he should have gone, or after he should have gone. And a perfect fit, a great story, good guy. And again, across the board, we're getting high-class characters who's been former captains, guys that are devoted to the game. My only complaint is the running back, and I don't need to go over it again, but in the end, you're getting guys that, as you said, immediate contributors, big areas of need. I have to give it at least a B, probably a B+. My only complaints being the running back and maybe not being able to work a little more value out of that third overall pick. But as we talked about yesterday, they didn't have a deal on the table, so there's not much they could do there.
Yeah, and I know you don't like playing this game, but we have to address it on the podcast because I think we've talked about it everywhere else. But, I mean, can we play the Jelani Tavai or Armani Araria game where we can just swap around picks?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to pretend Romeo Okwara was taken 35th overall and Swift was either the next third round pick or the one after that, sure. If it makes you feel better, it's still not going to remove it completely for me. But you know, it's ultimately the same players, and you're going to pay them all the same collective amount. So sure,
yeah, do it. I don't know if I'm reading too much into this, if this is the English teacher in me or not, but the one other thing I want to say about day one and day two so far, the Lions have really, they've really grabbed some players who have connections. Like, I mean, getting the Okwara brothers, you got Jonah Jackson and Jeff Okuda, who both come from the same college. You have DeAndre Swift, who's a Georgia Bulldog, and you have the connection there with Matthew Stafford. Like, I mean, it seems like they're trying to kind of build this like fraternity almost, right. Which, I mean, obviously, you know, you talk about building a culture, and I don't think that can be understated,
sure,
or overestimated.
Right. All right. Last thing before we get out of here and get some sleep, let's talk about going forward. Let's talk about day three of the draft. The Lions have four more picks left, fourth, fifth, sixth, and the seventh round pick. A couple of those are now later in the round. So really the major one where the Lions need to still probably get a contributor is that third pick in day three, the fourth round, third overall pick. Let's talk about need there. In terms of where this roster still potentially needs a boost, is there a position on this roster where you're like, yeah, they need at least one more guy there?
I think
not including punter.
Right. Yeah. I think wide receiver, and I think wide receiver from the aspect that you're going to be able to accomplish two things, right? One, you can never count on receivers, especially ones that are going to be drafted this low, to be immediate contributors. That's not going to be a problem. That's not going to be a problem at all for anybody who gets drafted at this point, because you got Danny Amendola, you got Kenny Galladay, you got Marvin Jones, you have players in front of them. So it kind of eases the burden of that player in year one. I don't know if at this point in the draft you're going to get anybody who is an immediate contributor like you did on these first 2 days. I think at this point you're starting to draft projects. You're starting to set yourself up for the future. So, I mean, I'm really interested in seeing how the Lions tackle day three just from that aspect. Are they going to go back up? Are they going to get a project quarterback? Are they going to take a special teams player like a punter? Are they going to maybe be targeting us, you know, special teams type of players, whether or not it's a linebacker or it's a cornerback or, you know, somebody who can play on punt team or kickoffs or whatever it may be. I think at this point in the draft, not saying that the Lions still don't have areas they can upgrade, it's just I don't think they'll be able to upgrade them with picks that are this late in the draft.
There's one position where I think they can, and I think they have to. Defensive tackle.
Okay.
As we said a lot during today's stream, during the draft, they need one more fatty. They need a run stuffer. They need a guy that can, you know, relieve Danny Shelton, because I don't believe in the Lions' depth, even if they may. And I mean, we've thrown this name around all, you know, mock draft season. I think Leki Fotu is their guy. 330, coming out of Utah. He fits. He's the big fatty.
Just a big space eater. And that might be it. If you're the Lions, I wonder if that's where they go in round four, and that's probably about his value. Round four, maybe round five, that could be a good landing spot for him. So we'll see. I think like you said, the Lions probably believe in their defensive line talent a little bit more than we do. I think they might really believe in John Atkins. They might really think that they're going to get a season's worth out of Deshaun Hand. Maybe they're even thinking, hey, we couldn't address the defensive line with any of our, you know, day one or day two picks, so we're going to bring back Mike Daniels. I think that's still a legitimate possibility.
Sure. Yeah, we'll just kind of have to wait and see. Darius Shelton was the guy. Is that his last name? It's late. The former Jacksonville guy who's a free agent. Jerry brought him up.
Marcel Darius.
Thank you. Also, I don't know. Who is Darius Jackson a person? Did I just make up a person?
You said Darius Shelton, which Darius I thought Shelton. Was like oh. a combination of Darius Slay and Danny Shelton.
Maybe it
which
is. I don't
which
know.
Is an awesome player. I think that he would be even better than Isaiah Simmons in terms of versatility. He can play nose tackle and corner.
It's 2 o'clock. Give me a break.
But I am.
If the Lions escape this draft without adding a fatty, he's my fatty to add. And I need to stop saying the word fatty.
You just want to keep saying that word. It's clearly Brett Whitfield's fault.
It made me giggle. All right. We shall see what the Lions do with that fourth round pick and so much more tomorrow on Saturday. Stay tuned. We're going to have, at the very least, a Sunday full POD cast an hour. We're not going to have a live Twitch stream during Saturday's draft, but we might take a peek here or there while the Lions are on the clock. So make sure you're following us there. Make sure you're subscribed to our podcast. Make sure you leave a review because we're putting in a lot of work just for you. And you need to be grateful. Just kidding.
Okay.
We love you guys. We'll see you guys on Sunday. You guys have a great night. Have a great draft weekend and go Lions.
Bye.
Bye.